I'm hot nation, so I enjoy it. Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read a little bit in the beginning, and then I'll tone down a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. And if you're there, the Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck up and pull down and to destroy it. If the nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil and I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If I do evil in my sight, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Father, as I come to you this night, I pray, God, the words that you have given to me, God, that I might bring it to this, your people, God, that we might find, God, that we have an opportunity, God, to grow in you and God and know your word and know what you're all about. Father, I thank you for this. We ask you to bless it in your name. The church said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight. If I had a title for this tonight and my thought going, he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. The Bible says that Jeremiah was watching the potter at work. We find in this particular area of scripture where Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. And so as he began to look at what the potter is doing here, I find it a learning experience of what happens to that vessel at the potter's wheel. Now, when we look at clay, they say that certain parts of country, Oklahoma, I guess, Missouri, and those type of places that have some really hard red clay that you can't deal with. In fact, they say it's like worthless land that you can't even grow something there, you know. And then when it does get wet, it becomes muddy and just slick and you know, too much water, you know. And so we look at Jeremiah down there at the potter's wheel, and so he's learning what the potter is doing. So the potter takes the clay, and so in this clay, he doesn't throw it away. Thank God, he doesn't throw away the clay. Amen? And, you know, there are some, I know myself, if I was at a potter's wheel and I had some clay that I wasn't worthy of taking the time to fix it and to knead it, to pound it out, to do whatever it takes to make that, as stubborn as I am, I would probably throw that bunch of clay away, get mad at it, probably hit it, throw it on the ground and trash it and go and buy some new clay. Aren't we like that sometimes? We just want to give up and say, you know, your piece of clay, you're worthless, you know. And so thank God that God doesn't do that. So here Jeremiah goes down, and here's the example that he's looking at. And he sees the clay that is marred. He sees the clay that is broken. He sees the clay that's been shattered. And yet the example is that the potter keeps on potting. He keeps on doing whatever it takes. And you know what? If that clay messes up, he will knead it again. He will do whatever it takes, and he'll make another vessel. And you know what? The great thing about the potter is in his mindset, he knows what he wants. He knows what his goal is. He knows what's set before him. He wants to make the best vessel that he can. What a great potter Jesus is. Amen. He doesn't throw away the clay, but he doesn't. He notices that the clay is formed into a vessel. Thank God that God has us as vessels. You know, he could have created us all as donkeys. Thank God he didn't. Amen. But he made beautiful vessels. I don't even think that God makes mistakes. Well, just go there, Jack. It's on my brain. He makes pretty ones, ugly ones. He makes good vessels, doesn't he? Amen. So we're all beautiful in his eyes. Even though the vessel's been marred. What do you mean marred? Torn, tattered, broken. God finds use for it. Amen. He works all things out for his pleasure, for our good. He works it all out for our good. He also noticed that the potter did not discard the lump. Oh, yeah. I would take that lump and I'd throw it in the trash and I'd try to work with what I have. How many know sometimes the lumps in our life, the lumps of people, God doesn't throw them away, but he needs it and bends it and he makes something good out of it. What a good God. He pounds it back and then he puts it back on the wheel. He made it again, the same clay. He didn't get some new stuff. He took the same clay, same potter. He didn't pass it on. The same wheel that he had to work on. I met people who work with pot. I have a former pastor of mine. She's in heaven today. But one of her new tasks that she took on, what is that pottering? They put them in the oven, and they bake them, then they paint them, and they make a beautiful vessel. They make whatever they're trying to build, man, they do a good job at it. They heat it at certain degrees, that's their baby. You know, they take pride in that. They take joy in what they do. And I've listened to Sister Rickman, and she'd be like, well, that one took me so long to make, and you know, and this one took a while, and man, I just didn't give up. Not like God. Just doesn't give up. And our lives are continually like that. What do you mean by that, Pastor Jack? We mess up sometimes. He doesn't go and say, yo, lump in your body there, I'm throwing you away. But he says, I'm working it in your behalf. I'm going to fix it. Thank God. He makes another vessel as he sees fit. As clay in his hands, we need to be soft and pliable. God can then shape and mold us as he desires. We must be pliable. We must be ready and acceptable for what God has for us in our life. In another instance, the Bible declares that a broken and contrite spirit that he can work with. And that simply means when we're broken before him, we're pliable to the kingdom of God. Do you know anybody hard-headed that you just can't get anything through? I was that child. You know, my daddy used to say, if I could knock some sense into you, I would do it. You know, and so do you know anybody like that? You know, and just don't get it. Well, God wants our lives to be soft, pliable, that he wants us to be able to work with. And so when we are in that position, then we can be used of God. We can be remolded by God. And those faults that we have, God's still working on me. Amen. God's still working on me. Thank God. Conformed to his will and transformed into his image. His will, not our will. Now, every man is given a will. And sometimes in our will thinking, we do what we want, we do what we're saying. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Been there, done that? Come on now. And transformed into his image. The image of God. To be like him. Be to be just like Jesus. Just like that song says, oh, to be like Jesus. Wouldn't that be your desire, your wish? Oh, to be like Jesus. Amen? Transformed into his image. Hard clay must be broken up, moistened, kneaded, to become a workable lump. Well, I'm not referring to you as just a lump of clay. But what I'm saying is, in your life, those marred, those lumped areas. Listen, God's still working on us. He looked beyond my fault. He sees my need. He looks beyond the fault and he sees your need. Come on, some of us would have already sent us to hell or done, already put you in the grave or something because of our humanistic errors. But God doesn't see that. See, sometimes in our faults, God sees them and he says, you know what? I can still use you. I'm not going to throw away you because of your fault. The devil has enough havoc in making us feel bad, making us live under condemnation, making us feel guilty about everything we do. And we must not listen to the woes of the enemy. But we must listen to God who says, you belong to me. You're my child, and I still have room for you, and I still have a work for you to do. There was a while in my life that I had went through some very serious times growing up, even though growing up in a Christian home, and my dad pastored for a little while, and having a great mother that I had, but as a pastor's kid, you know, I still had some trials. And there was some stuff that I went through. And there was some stuff that I just couldn't let go, that I beat myself up. And I just felt unworthy and wanted to walk away. And God, why did you leave me? And all these things. And one day, a young evangelist came to our church. And this is years after still me not giving up and continue to serve God. And he sang a song. He looked beyond my faults. He saw my need. My past is gone. Amen? And then the Lord finally really got to heal me because I let him do it. It's what we need sometimes. Romans 9 and 20 and 21 says this. Just write it down if you need to. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? Isaiah 64 and 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thy hands. As the clay, we need to be free of hard particles or foreign objects. Free from it. Now, what this simply means to be free from that is, we have things in our life, if we don't get rid of them, those hard objects, those particles. Now, for some, it's an easy task to let it go. And for others, it is a task of holding on to. And you say, well, Pastor Jack, what do you mean by that? There are people in life, in ministry, deacons, you name it, that have holds on things in their life, objects in their life. And if we don't let them go, the potter is unable to work with us. What are you saying, Jack, is let go of those things that bind you and allow the Holy Spirit and allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives. Those clay, to use the clay, the hard particles have got to be gone. Now, that's different than a lump. The hard things. See, the lump is there, and God can work with that. But the hard objects that we choose to hold on to are the ones we need to let go. Those hard objects and particles. Amen? We have many opportunities to mess up in life. We do things we know we shouldn't. And we make mistakes. Been there, done that. How about you? Come on, tell the truth. We do things we shouldn't do. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, but we don't know about it. But there, hello, get to earth. Sometimes we do things that we know we shouldn't do, and we do it anyways. Let's get to earth. And then we ask Jesus to forgive us after we had fulfilled our flesh. Boy, Jack, you're being tough tonight, huh? If a driver makes a mistake, it's called an accident. If a teacher makes a mistake, it's a new theory. If a barber makes a mistake, it's a new hairstyle. After all, we make mistakes, don't we? We mess up. Now, there is a difference if you look at the definition of mistake. A mistake is a mistake. But when you deliberately do something, that ain't no mistake. You did it because you want to. But we do live in an era or a life of mistakes. He looked beyond my fault. He sees the need. Don't let the devil beat you up and condemn you over your mistakes. Why? It's a learning process. Now, some people, as I talked about hard-headed earlier, they don't learn from their mistakes. Can confession go here for a minute? Don't raise your hand. Sometimes I learn from it, but I did it again anyways. Huh? Hello, somebody. Been there, done that? And sometimes, can we say you've done it again and again and again until you finally learned? Wake up. Man, I finally got it. When you try and deny your mistakes, it is when trouble really begins. Do you hear that? When you try and deny your mistake is when trouble really begins. Accept the mistake. Accept the responsibility. Your kids make excuses while they grow up. I did it because she told me to. Sister, it was her thought. It was my sister's idea. The devil told me to do it. Yeah. Sometimes we think like that. It's easier to own up. After all, God knows. He knows. What are you trying to do, fool him? He knows when you're wrong. So we must own up to him. It's easier. Amen? When you own up to it. Don't deny it. It's easier to talk to the Father. It's easier to get forgiveness. My daddy used to say this. Oh, confession time. Here goes. I'd lie about something, you know, and he knew it. And he'd say, Jackie Wayne, listen. I know you're lying, and you better tell me the truth, because if you don't, you're going to get a whooping for doing it, and you're going to get a whooping for lying about it. It was easier to tell the truth because I knew a second whooping was coming. Isn't it like the Lord if we just tell him our heart? Tell him our heart. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. When we think we stand, that is when we made our first mistake. You know, it's like living on a mountain. You're on the top of the mountain. Everything's fine. Oh, goody, 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 goody. Thank God you're blessing me. And, you know, when we fall down, we say, Lord, I was up here. Why'd you bring me down here, you know, to learn and grow? Come on, climb that mountain again. Get back up on top. When you think you're strong, watch out. Because when you think you're strong, nobody could touch me. There were people in the Bible like that. Nobody could touch me. I'm the strong man of God. I think I know it all. When I was about 19 years old, I was at, so I thought, at the height of my ministry, youth pastoring, sectional youth leader, running about 40 youth at the time, seeing folks filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to go there in a bragging area, but what I want to say is I thought all was well. Nothing can harm me. Full of the Holy Ghost, on fire. And this little woman came in my life who I fell in love with, so I thought. And I went off to the deep end. I'm not going there, but you know what I'm talking about. Went off and left my God. And just began to follow after this Delilah. And, you know, and so lost out with God. And then the Lord, you know, those hard knocks woke me up, knocked me upside my head. And I had to come home with repentance. And so I began to cry out to God. I said, God, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I used to be. I feel like that anointing that I had then is gone. And I felt like, and so the devil began to beat me up and try to say those faults that you carry are with you forever. Listen, he looked beyond my fault. He saw my need. I wanted to give up on ministry. I felt I could never be in the position that God had once placed me. And God began to share with me and tell me, I'm taking you into another step, into another level of your ministry. Don't look back at the past, even though it was great. Even though you had some knocks, even though you had some fall downs, I'm going to take you to a different level in me. Thank God for that. I would not be standing here with you today, because God knows what he's doing. Amen. So when we think we stand, that is when we made our first mistake. When we think we're all right, we stop being cautious. And we start making mistakes again. Did you hear that? When you think you're all right and everything's just good, you don't become cautious anymore. You don't care. That's when the people that keep doing that sin over and over and over again, they say if you do it enough, pretty soon your guilt will go away. Because there's no cautious area anymore. I have a friend, her and her husband, they didn't pastor, but they were really in the church for a long time doing real well. And the daughter came to them and she said, Mama, she said, I just keep messing up and I just keep messing up. And, you know, I keep having relations with my boyfriend and I know I should be married. She said, just keep doing it. Just repent when you're done. Come on, misleading. Keep doing what you're doing and pretty soon you won't feel guilty anymore. But if you become pliable like that clay I'm talking about and say, God, those lumps, keep working on me. Look beyond my faults. Saw my needs. In Romans, Paul said this, when I want to do good, I do it not. When you want to do good, sometimes you don't do it. Don't follow me. I will make you fall down. But follow me as I follow Christ, because he's behind me. Follow the Christ in me. Don't look at me. I mess up sometimes. Well, preacher, you sure are confessing. Well, yeah, I am, because I'm not perfect yet. I'm just striving to be that way. Amen? Do you struggle like that? Our only salvation from that is Christ. Our only salvation is when I want to do good, I do it not. God comes in. He saves us. Amen? And he helps us to do good. Do you learn from your mistakes? If your surgeon or your pilot forget, they better not make a mistake. That can be dangerous. What happens if the surgeon makes a mistake? There's tragedy that comes out of it. If the pilot makes a mistake, you may end up somewhere where you don't want to go. So there are critical things in life. There are some things we must be cautious. We must think twice before we do it. And try not to make that mistake. And that's what God wants. Simply try not to do it. You know? And there's some areas in our life that we just made a mistake. And sometimes you don't even realize it. Sometimes you may have said something and you wait till you get home and it's like, did I say that? Was I that rude? I didn't mean it that way. Or somebody misinterpreted what you said because you know what you said because it's in your brain. But it came out another way. Mistakes. Listen, God is not going to beat you up because of your mistake. But did you learn from it? Since I've been here, I called Bruce. I said, Pastor, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I done this. And he goes, you did? He said, well, I didn't even think about it. I said, well, yeah. I said, I couldn't sleep about it. He said, you lost some sleep. In other words, I let it get to me rather than him. Mistakes. Come on, he looks beyond our faults. He sees our needs. Jesus knows we're going to fail. He told Peter, you will deny me 3 times. And guess what the story is? He did it. He did it. He denied him. And Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. And he did it. So Jesus knows. But what happened is, even though Peter denied him three times, Jesus' response to him was, I know your heart is right. I still have work for you to do. All because he messed up. He just didn't say, you're done. You're finished. Thank God he's God. Right? We'd all be going to a devil's hell. He said, I know your heart's right. Does your tongue get you in trouble sometimes? Is it unruly? Boy, God, why didn't you just make us all sign language people? You know why? Because we'd still do something wrong with our finger. You know what I mean? We would still know how to tell somebody off because we still do that with our hand. Come on now, I'm being real. When I was younger and I wasn't serving God and the car that cut me off, man, I didn't say, God bless you, be on your merry way. I wanted revenge. I wanted evil. Oh, here goes. You know, I was in my car one time. This car was just really giving me trouble, you know. And so anyways, and cussing me out, and I cussed him back out. This is, of course, when I wasn't serving God. And so anyways, he speed up, and he tried to cut me off and tried to run into me. And, you know, I was like, I was young. And I said, you know what, I got insurance. You know where I'm going? I got insurance. So the red light came and I rammed him right in the back of his car. We got out. We started fighting. And so when the police came, I said, it was an accident. It was no accident. I wanted to mess up his car. I wanted to get even with you. Of course, I had to turn it to the insurance company and they paid the bill and everything. Come on now. I'm not the only one. How about you? Your tongue. Unruly. It has the power to give life or kill somebody. You say, well, I've never killed somebody. You killed their spirit. You killed their character. You killed their personality. Come on, you know, you can do something with that mouth to your mate or something, cause them to cry. You can do something with that mouth and put them in depression. You can, you know, I mean, this mouth can just get us in a lot of trouble. It's bitter or can be sweet. And sometimes we can bring life by what we say. Sometimes it can come out sweet. Don't you like it when God uses your mouth, your tongue to benefit him? What is the learning object of that, Pastor Jack? Say things that are good. If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Did I say that? If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say it at all. Unruly tongue. Or how about words like, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I'm thinking of my dad. I love you, son. And then when I make a mistake, you idiot! You ever done that? Or you're stupid or something. You know, they don't really mean that. It just came out like that. You know, in a moment of anger. And you know, people are ready to judge you for your mistakes. Even the sinner knows better than you know, and you're a Christian. Because they're fault finders. They're looking for something to throw at you. You think you're a Christian. Huh? You know people like that? Yeah. We got a few in the church. Oh, you said that, Pastor Jack? Yeah. What about we sing, I love you, I love you, I love you to the Lord. I love you, love you, love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All those great words. But when things didn't go your way, it's, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I heard Jimmy Swagger say today about a young lady who something tragic had come in her life, being molested by her father and all those things. And then she came to realize that she needed God, but she couldn't forgive, and she hated God. And the reason that she hated God, and that's why I said that word hate, is because she said, I prayed, and you did not answer my prayer. The abuse continued. She had lived a cycle of where she thought that God didn't love her. And it was easier to hate him because he wouldn't answer her prayer. And she blamed God. Listen, even if it doesn't go our way, it doesn't mean that God does not love us. Even if it is not our way, God is still there. Remember, he takes the clay and he's working it and working it. Thank God that even though he made this vessel, he's continued to work on it from the day we were born until we leave this earth. Aren't you glad? From the day we were born until we leave this earth, he's building a better vessel. And that vessel is you. Amen. Your actions. Eyes of judgment. I like to say it this way. If you're going to be judgmental, if you're judging according to the word of God, that's okay. But if you're judging to please your own self, to make your life feel satisfying because it's easier to judge somebody else, then don't do it. Don't use the eyes of judgment. Turn away. Amen. Turn those eyes away because it will lead you off Christ if you don't. A heart of hatred. Don't let people cause you hatred to rise in you. Because hatred will only harden the heart. And then it is not easy to forgive. I have a relative, she says to me, I don't need to ask for forgiveness. I didn't do anything. And I said, Jesus didn't do anything, but he asked for forgiveness. So even though you're wrong, or you may be right, still apologize. I ain't gonna do it. Well, there's your heart. It's hardened. A mind of unforgiveness. Don't allow the enemy to cause your mind not to be able to forgive. Even for the one that has done you wrong. That's hard to do, brother, sister. It's hard to do. For those that done you wrong, you don't want to forgive them. My mind says no. You know, because the reason that is, you'll remember all the bad. You won't remember even one thing they done good. What if they gave somebody at the store lunch for the day? I still don't like them. I'm going to remember everything bad. What if you just take that one thing and start loving them for the good that they've done? All that bad will go away. Amen. A mind of unforgiveness. Anyone have somebody that gets on your nerves like kids or teenagers? Don't raise your hand. Come on, people get on our nerves. I was a professor for many years, and, you know, a lot of my students were just after high school, you know, between 18, 22 years old. I did have some older students, but, you know, I taught for over 10 years. And so these older ones that had been around the block because of their age and more subtle, those were the easier ones to deal with. But when I had to deal with these unruly kids that I wish we were back in the 50s where we had a stick to beat them upside their head. I just cannot, I think it's the God in me, handle somebody who lies, cheats, and steals. And me as a professor, man, I couldn't wait till the end of the month to give you a great big F. Oh, no, it didn't stop there. They went to the board of directors. Mr. T has given me an F, and I don't deserve it. Oh, if you only knew that you copied your neighbor's papers. Okay, here goes. I had one guy, these two guys. And so the one student, I just began to recognize quite a bit of how bad of a cheater he really was. So they both turned in their handbooks at the end of the module, and so I graded the module. Well, as I began to notice these two, I put their two books side by side. The one smart kid who was a straight-A student got all the answers right, and he wrote all of his homework in red felt pen. Well, hello, I have his friend, his buddy's book next to me with the same red felt pen, the same writing, and the same answers. You put 2 + 2 together. They are cheating. So I brought them in the room together, and he still denied it. I said, look at the handwriting on the wall. It is the same. So I went to the smart kid, and I said, look, I will give you an A because I know you. But if you lie to me, I'm going to give you an F as a cheater, and I have all grounds to do it. I can fail you this module because you cheated. I'm giving you an opportunity to fess up and tell the truth or else. Mr. T, he paid me $10. So you have kids? I'm really teenagers. Let's turn the coin around. My kids tell me, Dad, you're old. Turn the coin around. You get on their nerves too. We get on other people's nerves. He looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. There are consequences to mistakes. Maybe sometimes in brokenness. Maybe in loneliness. Maybe in jail time. Those deliberate mistakes that you make, you will be held accountable for them. Unless you repent. Keep doing them. There's a cost to pay. When I was nursing at the clinic, we had a young lady good morals. She was my patient from the time she was a kid. And at 17 years old, she came into the clinic and I brought her in and, hey, how you doing? Shook her hand, filling out her reports of what she was doing there for the day. She began to cry. And I said, what's wrong? She said, I messed up. She said, I don't know what happened to me. She said, but I've been seeing this boy, and we've been having relations, and now I have an STD. Messed up. Contracted something that nobody would want. Messed up in life. We make mistakes. We do. We mess up. But thank God we have a God that forgives. A God who looks beyond our fault. He sees our need. For those came a consequence. For those, the actions followed her. Not a good one. Her pain caught up with her. And that's something she has to deal with the rest of her life. Amen. This week, as I begin to study God's word and begin to look upon what God would have for me today, over the past couple of months, I have been either in counsel with people or even in California, they call, and just different areas of where the enemy is running rampant today, beating up God's children, messing with God's children. And so as a preacher of the gospel of the word and knowing, you know, even beyond that, my own mistakes in life, what a learning experience that God has brought me through. And I've been in intense prayer saying, God, help those that are battling this area. God, reveal to them that you look beyond their faults. I'm not talking about the ones that they deliberately do, because I'm not here setting a judgment and trying to say it's okay for you to sin. But what I am trying to display unto you is that when you mess up, you have a God. And I'm so tired of the enemy beating up God's children for their mistakes. After your mistake, don't continue in it. But if you do mess up, don't walk away from this God that we serve. We have too many people that have been serving God for years, and they walk away from it. They give up on the God of forgiveness. Amen? Aren't you glad he looks beyond our faults? Sees our needs. Amen. Stand with me, church. Let's all pray together. And if you're in that valley of mistakes, just ask God to help you through them. Amen. Because he will. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible said he left the 99 and he went after the one. That's the kind of God I serve. Amen. Father, I'm so thankful for your word, for this teaching tonight, God. I am so thankful that you look beyond our faults and you see our needs, God. That we are the vessel on the wheel that is being turned. turned and got all the marred areas, all the lumps that are in the clay, God. You're still working on us. We thank you, God, that you never give up on us. God, you'll never leave us nor forsake us, but that you would go with us until the end of the earth. Master, I pray if there's anyone in this church today, God, that you would encourage their heart. Let them know that you're still Daddy Jesus, that you will take care of them, Father God. And Master, for this whole earth that is in destruction, God, I pray, God, that you surround your arms around this earth. God, let them know that they need a Savior. Cause them, God, to come to the cross of Calvary, God, and repent, God. And those that are discouraged, those that have a way, God, of just thinking that you're not there, somehow reveal your personality, your character to them, and let them realize that you love them, God, that you would always love them, despite the actions. As long as we cry out unto you, we have a masterful Savior that will forgive us. Bless this, your people. In your name we pray. The church said, amen. God bless you.